Why are we here tonight? Why were we here this morning? Let me put the two together. Why are we here on Sundays? Are we here on Sundays in the will of God? If you were to ask a Seventh-day Adventist, they would say, nope, you're here on the wrong day. Does it make any difference? Are we here in the will of God? I want to give you an excerpt from a Seventh-day Adventist webpage. I think is actually a part of a book that someone of their organization wrote. It goes this way. I go to church on Saturday because it is biblical and Sunday church attendance is not. While God welcomes worship every day of the week, He set aside the seventh day as a special day of rest. This day is called the Sabbath, corresponds with Saturday. It was given to humankind at creation about 2,000 years before the Jewish people existed. Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man, not just for Jews. Mark 2:27. I'll take an examination of what he writes there and just look at it a little bit logically and then a little bit biblically. I go to church on Saturday because it's biblical. Sunday church attendance is not. Okay, if that statement is true, can you make the second statement? God welcomes worship every day of the week. Well, if He welcomes it every day of the week, then Sunday worship is acceptable. If Sunday worship is not acceptable, then He doesn't worship or He doesn't welcome it every day of the week. One of those statements, if not both, is incorrect. And the correct answer to that is the first one is not the correct statement. He set aside the seventh day as a special day of rest. That is absolutely true. This is called the Sabbath, and it corresponds with Saturday. True or false? Well, what does it correspond with, though?
According to our calendar, he rests on the seventh day.
And right.
Starts on Sunday and goes through Saturday.
The problem with that is it is not entirely true. The Hebrew reckoning of days begins at sundown. So it's sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. So when they say it corresponds to Saturday, that's not entirely true. It was given to humankind at creation, which is a true statement, about 2,000 years before the Jewish people existed, which is also a true statement, except that it implies something. Which is the next statement. Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man, not just for Jews. Well, let's look at the statement in Genesis chapter 2. It says there, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, and on the seventh day God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His works which God created and made. What do you see in that verse that they cite about the Sabbath that deals with worship? You are absolutely right. The Sabbath that is being referenced here only says that God ceased from His labors and that it becomes a pattern for man and his work, which brings us to the Mark 2:27 statement. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Okay, well, they're saying that it's for all men, not just the Jews, which is true. But what was Genesis chapter 2 about? Was it about worship? And the answer is no, it was about resting from labors. What's interesting about that is they've taken this verse and they've isolated it. What often determines the interpretation of a verse?
Context.
What surrounds Mark chapter 2, verse 27? Well, we go back a couple of verses to verse 23, and it came to pass that he, that's Jesus, went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? They're working. Had nothing to do with worship. They were working, which in the eyes of the Pharisees was a violation of the Sabbath. And Jesus goes on in between to say, having read about David and his men and the holy bread and so forth and so on about that, the Sabbath was made for man for the purposes of he needs a day of rest. The body demands it. And God gave us a pattern in creation that he worked in 6 days creating all the things. Was God exhausted on the seventh? And the answer is, well, God is never exhausted. But he gave us a pattern. So, they go on to write this. If we examine every verse in the Bible on the Sabbath, we discover some amazing things. All the Old Testament people of God enjoyed its blessing. And we must remember that until Abraham, no one was Jewish. Okay. Can we verify the fact that all the Old Testament people of God enjoyed its blessing? Start in Genesis chapter 3. How many people do you find in Genesis chapter 3 enjoying the blessing of a Sabbath rest? You are right. How about chapter 4? How about chapter 5? How about chapter 6? Chapter 6 is, we start with Noah and the flood. 7? 8? 9? 10? 11? Were there people of God in those chapters? Sure there were. Do we have any record that they enjoyed its blessing? Now, more than likely they did. But do we have any record of it? The answer is no, we don't. So where are they getting this statement? Supposition. They just think that it was there. Okay, Jesus honored the Sabbath by keeping it every week. Is that true?
Yes.
That's true. Why did he keep it every week?
That was the law.
What law?
The law of Moses.
Law of Moses. And the law of Moses was given to?
Moses.
Jewish people. Was Jesus a Jew?
Sure was.
What does Galatians 4:4 say about him? But in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman. Next phrase, anyone? Made under the law. He had an obligation to keep the Mosaic law. And there you read the Sabbath. So, that Jesus kept the Sabbath, he had to. The disciples kept it. Couple of references. Acts chapter 16, verse 13. Acts chapter 18, verses 4 and 11. Let's take a look at those two verses. Oops, I thought I had them up there, but maybe I don't. No, I don't. Okay. Acts chapter 18. Open your Bibles. I thought I had that one for you, so you wouldn't have to do that. But it won't hurt you to look at Acts chapter 18. And verse 4. Paul has come to Corinth. He's living with Priscilla and Aquila because they were both tent makers. Verse 4 says, "And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks." Why was Paul in the synagogue on the Sabbath? Okay, that's what he was doing, but why on the Sabbath? That's when everybody went there. Would you find them there on days other than the Sabbath? If you want to reach these people, you have to be where they are. If you want to go fishing, you go where the fish are. So he's there in the synagogue. Does it say anything that he was participating in the worship of the Sabbath? No, it doesn't. Drop on down to verse 11. "And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them." Well, when would he have done that? Every opportunity that he had, more than likely it was on the Sabbath. But it doesn't say anything that he was there participating in the worship. Drop on back to Acts chapter 16. Look at verse 13 there. "And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted there, and shared with them the gospel." Was what comes next. Does it say anything about him participating in worship? Here are a bunch of women gathered together for prayer. As Paul said, we prayed with them. Doesn't say that. Just an opportunity where people were met together on a day. So can they say the disciples kept the Sabbath? Not by those verses. "It will be kept in heaven and the new earth." Isaiah chapter 66. Well, if you look at that, and it's important to look at that one, you're going to have to go back to Isaiah. Maybe I had that one up. There it is. "For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain." Now he's speaking of Israel. "And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord." What's the time frame of worship? Okay. From Sabbath to Sabbath, inclusive. Not just the Sabbath, but every day in between. So that doesn't quite get it. Let me go back. The Bible presents an unbroken cycle of Sabbath observance from man's creation to the new earth. Okay. Is that really true?
No.
Where is the first place that you will find the Sabbath mentioned as a command? In fact, mentioned at all. If you're going to say Exodus 16, verse 23, you would be right. Now, why would you say that, Roy? Because it's up there. "And he said unto them, this is that." Now, this is, he's speaking about the holy manna. "This is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today, and see that you will see, and that which remaineth over, lay up for you to be kept unto the morning." This is the Sabbath. What's restricted in the Sabbath? What's he restricting here? Yeah, because that's work. Do your work on Friday so that when sundown comes, you have food prepared for tomorrow. That's the first mention of Sabbath in Scripture. It deals with work. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 and 9. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy worshiping. Work. Now, I had said some time ago that the Sabbath regulations dealt only with work. I was wrong. As studying for this tonight, I was a little concerned as I was doing some research that no one ever said, hey, it doesn't deal with worship at all. It does. Only it's not as blatant as it may seem. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 31. It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and you shall afflict your souls by a statute forever. You shall minister to the non-material part of you, the emotional part of you, the spiritual part of you. The Sabbath has a purpose there. A little bit later, Moses writes, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. I checked out what that is. It's a meeting of people together. Why would people be getting together on the Sabbath? To sit around and play cards? To sit around and watch football? What else do you do on Sundays? No, they're getting together for worship. There is an inscription in one of the Psalms, and I didn't write down which psalm it is, but it's a song for the Sabbath. Well, it's a worship song. So there was worship associated with the Sabbath. But the first time that is commanded of people comes with the law of Moses, which is important. Let's put it this way. The very creation, God worked 7 days, rested the seventh, and therefore he said, I want that to be a rest from work. Does man need a rest from work? And the answer is true. Was man supposed to worship from day one on? You find that with Genesis chapter 3. They were bringing offerings. Cain and Abel were bringing offerings. That was an act of worship. Was it corporate worship? Well, if there's only a couple of them, you could say that it was, but that's not what we're talking about. Was there a command for them to worship on the Sabbath? Well, I just said there was no command. We get to around 1400 BC, 2600 years of time has gone by. There's been no command for Sabbath worship. Now there is. Is man still to rest from his work on the Sabbath day? Why? Because the Sabbath was created for man. Is man supposed to worship during this period of time? And the answer is yes. But now you have the command to worship on the Sabbath. Oh, by the way, not just the normal Sabbath, but there were special Sabbaths. Pentecost, trumpets, Passover, that's the one. They were Sabbath days, special Sabbath days. No work and a time of worship. So if you're going to say Sabbath worship is the day, should you include those special days as well? Well, anyway, we get to the cross of Christ around A.D. 30. What happens at the cross? Paul says the law was nailed to the cross. It came to an end. It was fulfilled in the life of Jesus, paid for. Our sins were paid for with his blood, and the law comes to an end. Is there still a need for man to rest from his work? The answer is yes, there is. There's still a Sabbath regulate or necessity there. Is there still a need for God to be worshipped? Even more so, is there a command in Scripture to worship on the Sabbath? No. And the answer is nope. It's only found in the law. Interesting. Of the Ten Commandments, 9 of them are repeated in the New Testament. Guess which one isn't? Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Why? Because there is a Sabbath rest remaining for the people of God, and it's found in the person of Christ and the work on Calvary, which has now been completed. We get to the end of time, where there's a new heavens and a new earth. Will there be any work in eternity future? Scripture says, and his servants will serve him. I take it that's physical. So there will be time to rest from our labors. Will there be a necessity to worship God? The answer is yes. Is there a command to worship in the Sabbath there? And the answer is we haven't gotten one yet. And even if it does come, it doesn't pertain to us now. The only command for Sabbath worship is under the law. And the law is finished. It's been paid for in Christ. So the article goes on, so why do most Christian churches worship on Sunday? The answer, tradition. You see, the Bible never records God changing the Sabbath from the seventh day to the first. Really? Well, sort of. The only change of God's law mentioned in scriptures is attempted by a clever inside attack on the church, Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. Would you like to guess who is attempting this attack on God's laws? The Antichrist. He's not here yet. Won't be revealed until the church is raptured, according to 2 Thessalonians 2. So that doesn't quite fit either. But is it tradition that the church changed the day of worship? This change came in long after the disciples died. By the 3rd and 4th century, history records some Christians kept the pagan worship day, Sunday, in Rome and in other places where the church was compromising to escape persecution. As the church at Rome grew in political power and developed into the Roman Catholic Church, it officially sanctioned Sunday keeping instead of the Sabbath. Oh, there's a mouthful. Did the first worship on Sunday occur centuries later? Well, what does Scripture say? Acts chapter 20, verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. Well, what was that? It was an act of worship, corporate worship, on the first day of the week. Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. That's my man. Acts chapter 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Paul is writing to them, on the first day of the week, let every one of you lay up by him in store as God has prospered him. I want you to be taking offerings so that when I come and collect these things, we can do it without a fuss being made. But what is it that you're coming together? The first day of the week. That's the first century, not the third or the fourth. Well, let me go back here. Go back to this. What happened that it got changed? In the first century, the Sabbath was honored by Rome. They made provisions for the Jews not to labor on that day. Sunday was a day of work. When did the Christians meet together for worship? Sunday evening. Well, then as the church grew in size and reached Rome, there was a desire for Christians to worship on the Lord's Day and not have to work. Well, Rome wasn't too happy with Christians. You will read that in the book of Acts, they expelled the Christians from Rome. Until along in the 4th century comes a man by the name of Constantine. Constantine supposedly, I don't think it's true, but my opinion doesn't really count there. It's God's that does. But Constantine supposedly was converted to Christianity. And in the course of time, he or the later Roman emperors changed the day of worship from Saturday to Sunday. It wasn't because the church grew in political power. It's because the powers came to know Christ, or supposedly did, and officially sanctioned it. Actually, in the eastern part of the empire, not the western church at Rome, but the eastern part in Constantinople, in the 2nd century, that had already taken place. So what's the deal? Colossians chapter 2. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. If you want to worship on the Sabbath, that's fine. If you want to worship on Sunday, that's fine. If you want to worship on Tuesday, that's fine. Did God ever command Sunday worship? The answer is no, He never commanded it. But why do we then worship on Sundays? What did the first Sabbath what was honored in it? The completion of creation. God's mighty work. God spoke and all the worlds came into existence. And worship was fitting on the Sabbath because there was the greatest demonstration of God's power. The world around us. Is it appropriate to worship on a Sunday? I would say yes, it is. So the question then becomes, why is it appropriate? Is there something greater than the creation of the world? The resurrection of Christ and the recreation of mankind. That is far more important. God's creation of the world affected time. God's provision of salvation affects eternity. Mm-hmm. Sunday is the most appropriate day for worship. Is it commanded? No. Is every day an appropriate day for worship? The answer is yes.
Pastor, it says that in Acts about Easter, mm-hmm. It talks about that. Did they celebrate at the first church?
It's a bad translation. The word is actually Passover. Pascha.
It's in the King James Version.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which, over the course of time, when does Easter take place? In conjunction with Passover. But really is what they're talking about is Passover. So, today is the Lord's morning. Lord's Day. I don't know, our church today, not just this line of Bible church, I mean Bible-believing churches tend to believe that it's the Lord's morning. There are some churches that have started Sunday evening services, and I don't have a problem with Sunday or Saturday evening services, except for one thing. If it's done for the convenience of people who must work on Sundays, that's great. They get a chance for corporate worship. If it's done because people don't want to get out of bed Sunday morning, I have a problem with that.
Uh-huh.
They certainly have. And they've tried to justify it. I looked on and did some research on that. And they have all kinds of things of why it's necessary to do it at such and such a time. And it's just ridiculous. But we've taken the worship day out of its context, limited to our convenience, and we're in a sad shape because of it. Let's worship. Father, we thank you for the day that you've given to us. Thank you that we could meet together here tonight and continue our worship, that we're not restricted by days, and that your praise is something that is should be continually done and given from our lips. Thank you for the days which you give us. May we be found praising you in all of them, not just the collective or corporate worship days, because you are worthy of our worship. To that end, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good week.
Did you have a transfer, Jeff? Did you have a transfer?